Two dark web marketplaces get busted by the feds. Find out if your three-year-old PC can get the latest version of Windows 10. Oh, and JJ Stone and Selena Larson are here to talk about hacking classes, BIOS sensors, and so much more. All that coming up on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today, episode 1814, recorded Thursday, July 20th, 2017. This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Go to ring.com/TNT and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit. Welcome to Tech News Today. This is the show where we talk about some of the biggest tech news stories of the day with people who are passionate about technology. I'm Megan Maroney. Jason Howell is on vacation all week. But joining me today is podcaster, content creator, warrior against soccer trophies, Owen J.J. Stone. Oh,
yes. No, what do they call participation trophies? Nope. They're evil.
So that was softball. I got it wrong. I thought it was soccer, but you had, this has absolutely nothing to do with tech news. And yet I'm going to talk about it anyway, because it was the most amazing Instagram post about the, it was softball. You say it was softball.
Yes.
So your daughter's softball team had a horrible season. They got beat all over the place and everyone still got trophies. Discuss.
Long story short, their season was great. This was a special tournament. Two losses and you're out. They lost both their two games back to back. They got their teeth kicked in. They lost by 10. They scored some runs, but they lost. And all of a sudden, after they shake hands, say good game, the winning team stands out there and they're clapping up. Like, what are they clapping for? They come out and they give our team trophies. Like, we came in last place. What are we getting trophies for? And it says participation. And then the coach is like, oh, can we just have Leah can hold it for the pitcher? Leah's like, I don't want it. He tries to hand it to her again. I don't want it. Looks at her mom. I'm like, what are you looking at her mom for? She's not holding this trophy. And the lady's like, why don't you want it? I'm like, we're not taking trash home. And we're not going to post on Facebook, act like we won something. We just lost. Like, the joy is playing the sport together with your friends, not to hold up a trophy for Facebook to make it look like you're a winner when you're not. So, no participation trophies. First, second, third, something. You got to win something to get something.
Yeah.
That's my mindset.
I feel like you are leading the charge here, and I support you 100%. Kids got to earn their trophies.
And they know the difference.
The
mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, they got to know the difference.
And that
they
wasn't it.
Harder.
You didn't get, neither you nor her or her mom gave in to the peer pressure. Nobody gave in to the peer pressure of just hold it for the picture. I love it.
And my favorite thing afterwards was like one of the dads came over and took the trophy and stepped on it and broke it. I'm like, we already had the kids post for the picture. Now, what's the point in breaking up the trophy? You're not doing anything. They're already still, we won. And they're going to put it on Facebook. But that's how the internet is. Everybody acts like they're special. I do it too. I'm really cool on the internet. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think if anyone has not met you before, I feel like we just gave a good introduction to who you are. And now we can talk about the tech news.
Let's talk about the tech news.
Okay. International law enforcement have just made it harder for you to buy your fake IDs online. Not you, Owen, but you know all you kids out there who are buying fake IDs. The U.S. Department of Justice announced the takedown of Alphabay and Hansa. Those are two dark web marketplaces selling mostly fake IDs and illegal drugs like heroin and fentanyl. The marketplaces were also popular places for you to buy hacking tools, guns, and toxic chemicals. Alphabay is said to have been 10 times larger than Silk Road, and Hansa, which is smaller, was the first place that Alphabay sellers and buyers went after Alphabay mysteriously shut down last month. What do you think, Owen?
Whoopee, they put a huge dent in the drug market for politicians and rich people that want to get their drugs via the mail.
They should get a trophy.
Right. Sessions beating his chest on something that's been in the works since 2015 and 2016. Again, cookies to him and this administration, how they like to handle things. This is a politics show, but this is a tech show. So on the tech side of it, three more of these entities will pop up overnight and continue to make money, because when there's a vacuum for the dark web always provides. It is a nice little hit for IDs and things like that, because those things are used for sex trafficking and smuggling in people in the country. So that's a nice chunk out. But the drug thing, that's not really, It didn't stop anything or save anybody or help anything. Because, again, most of your bulk drugs are not on the dark web, and that's just not how that operates. But it looks good on paper, and yay, crime fighting. They did something, so yay.
Well, I'm with you on almost all of this, except for I also believe, like, just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you can do nothing, right? I mean, so yes, another one will pop up. Yes, it's whack-a-mole. But does that mean that we should stop trying to shut them down?
I'm just saying sometimes there's other resources of money we could be putting things into. But that's not for me to judge. I'm just saying, you want to play whack-a-mole over and over and over again with a dark net entity that has tentacles all over the globe and unlimited funds and Bitcoin hide-in stash cash? I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not ordering heroin anytime soon. I'm too big, obviously, so I'm not using it. But the people find a way to get the things that they want. And the internet is the ocean, and you basically just threw a spoonful of sand in it and said, hey, we're soaking up some stuff out there. I mean, again, great for whoever life is saved from some synthetic drugs or whatever. But yeah, it's just going to keep going. But it looks good.
Yeah.
Got to try.
And whenever these whenever these stories come out, I'm also just amazed at how much the dark web looks like Amazon, like with the star ratings and the, you know, it's just not the stuff they're selling, but just they, you know, it looks exactly.
Not that I've been on it too much, but I've been on there. It's just like a fancy Craigslist. It's a notch below Amazon, but it's like Craigslist older brother that got a job. Like, it's pretty much the same thing. So anything you want to find on there, you can find on there. I have taken a peek out of curiosity to see some things. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of scary stuff on there. So again, it's good that it comes down, but I've seen the fluidity of something goes away and it just comes right back. There's so much money to be made. And the whole instance with the guy they caught that was running the Alpha Web killed himself in the jail cell. Like, it's serious business. It's a serious business. So that guy's not talking about his partners and whoever else might be setting up the new alpha. I mean, it's just crazy. But again, yay.
Well, there's that also picture, the picture of the weed, the purple kush. Sorry. And it says trust level 4. The seller is Ferris Bueller, probably not his real name, but the trust level is 4. Can we take a look at that picture, Brian? Because it says quantity left unlimited. Like, is it unlimited, really? Like, what is that? Like, that doesn't seem true.
So quantity left unlimited. Again, gosh, see, this is what I'm saying about this show gets me in trouble, because it sounds like I know more than I should know that I don't know. And I don't want anybody kicking in my door about the things I know. But unlimited, they're sending small quantities of this stuff. They're not sending you 4 tons of marijuana on the dark web. That's not where business like that gets done. I'm not saying where it does, but it just doesn't happen on the dark web. But when somebody wants a gram, that's like the tiniest amount, and maybe you want 5 of them or whatever, and they've got a pound. That they could service 3,000 people with that. I'm just throwing out numbers because I don't want to seem like I know anything. That's why it seems unlimited. I don't want the math to add up on me. We're going to be talking about math later.
Okay.
So I got to fudge these numbers a little bit.
Just mispronounce Kush, and then, you know, or is it Kush or Kush? Man, I don't know.
You're up in Northern California. You better know what Kush is. I know you're out there hanging out with the cows, but that's gold country up there. And it's legal. Y'all going to be taxed out the wazoo, making all kinds of money. You're going to be smelling purple Kush on the ride to work next year. Wait.
Okay. Burke, who is never wrong about anything, has something to say about the unlimitedness. It's a renewable resource.
It does grow on trees.
Microsoft, let's move on before either one of us get into any more trouble. Microsoft released another strong quarterly earnings report, especially in the cloud. The company also updated its support lifecycle policy in terms of hardware, saying they will not update for some older CPUs, specifically certain older Atom-based Windows devices. The statement comes after some grumbling online of current Windows 10 users who've been unable to update to the Creator's Edition. The Redmond company does say that they will continue to offer these customers security updates. Now, if you have a PC with one of these, one of the affected CPUs, you can install Windows 10 Anniversary Edition, but nothing newer than that. So, Owen, you said some of these stories were, you had some things to say. They were unsettling. Was this one of the unsettling stories?
No, this one's people are going to be upset about, but I mean, at the end of the day, did I tell you? I switched back to PC after like 11 years.
I'm
back on this PC thing. I like it. I like it a lot. I'm hooked on it. Like it's a computer heroin for me. I love it. I can't get enough of it. So as far as this is concerned, this is Microsoft trying to somewhat do what Apple does. You have to control your software and control your product, because when you have so many different devices and so many different things, it's hard to cast that net out and make everybody happy. And then you're going to have people complaining. There's going to be more bugs. So I fully understand them doing this. I'm surprised they haven't done it sooner. But maybe with this product being as quote unquote good and stable as it is, they're looking to the future of cutting down on issues and flaws and security problems. So I have no problem with this. If you would have asked me this like 2 years ago, I'd have been ranting and raving like I normally am, but I kind of understand the purpose of Microsoft doing this.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're sort of forced into doing it from Intel, but I mean, some of these computers are only like 2 or 3 years old. The HP Envy X2 is one of these PCs that'll be affected. So it's really kind of, I would feel bad if I had a 3-year-old computer that could no longer get updates.
Not get an update. It's like you're not getting the new blinky update. You're still going to be functioning the same way you were functioning. Your computer's going to function. They're going to support you with whatever you were doing previously. Cool. Now, when the new Kalamazoo comes out, your stuff probably can't handle it. And they're not going to deal with it. It's different. It's not the same. It's just like when I try to run an upgrade on a Mac. You can upgrade on a Mac for like 8 years. It doesn't mean it runs great. Yeah, you got the features, but even those features, some are blinked out. Yeah, this is not a problem.
So
Apple does this all the time.
Okay. So you're running Windows 10 Creators Edition?
Yes.
And is there nothing better about it than Windows 10 Anniversary Edition?
I don't know any better, so I can't answer that question yet. I am an infant in the Microsoft world, so I can't lie and say that it's better or worse. I don't know any better. I live in the world of the internet and Adobe Creative Suite. So technically, it doesn't matter what I'm on as long as it's fast.
Okay.
So I can't lie.
We don't want lies. Does it open when it sees your face? Do you have Windows Hello turned on? So you just look at it and it says,
welcome. I don't have a camera on. Again, I don't have Alexa. I don't do any of that. So the only thing I have in my house that listens to me is Siri. Everything else, I close circuits on. I just got to tell you about the dark web. Stuff be going on. I know what's happening on the internet. I'm not letting nobody listen to my voice, my call, my face, none of that.
Yeah.
Plus, I probably get one of those monkey things that always happen with voice detection, face detection with African Americans. I don't have to get involved with that and feel bad about myself.
Right. And God forbid you talk about drugs on a podcast that someone might listen to or watch.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Elon Musk's tweets have everyone in a tizzy today. The Tesla CEO says he got, quote, verbal approval for his underground Hyperloop from New York to Philadelphia to Baltimore and D.C. in 29 minutes. I guess it's from New York to D.C. in 29 minutes. The tweet was met with skepticism about what exactly verbal approval meant. Ben Sarl, deputy press secretary for the New York mayor's office, told Business Insider that no one in City Hall or any of our city agencies had heard from Musk or any representative from Musk's Boring Company. And that, of course, I'll remind you, it's called The Boring Company. I'm not making any judgments about whether it's exciting or not exciting company. Later, Musk followed up with, still a lot of work needed to receive formal approval, but am optimistic that it will occur rapidly. And then he said, if you want this to happen fast, please let your local and federal elected representatives know makes a big difference if they hear from you. So as much as my 19-year-old Baltimore living self would have loved to ride the Hyperloop, I do not see us riding around in tubes at, 500 miles per hour anytime soon. This is your neck of the woods, though. What do you think?
As many times we talk about this man talking about going to Mars, he's just making up stuff. This is another thing that he's making up because his voice drives things. I mean, when he just tweaks his stuff, his stock jumps through the roof. He's a marketing genius, if nothing else. Obviously, he's a regular genius. But this Hyperloop isn't going to happen. So first of all, just forget about me going from Philly to D.C. I'm not trying to turn into a piece of jelly. They haven't even sent fruit through a tube yet. And anything you send to that tube has got to be some kind of crate cart product at that speed. So until they figure out how to keep my brain from turning into spaghetti, I don't care about this stuff. They haven't proven anything to me. It doesn't matter anything to me. And yes, it's boring. It's boring. It's boring. Elon just be saying stuff. And it drives me crazy. I mean, because half the stuff he does comes true. So that makes you want to believe the other stuff. But this is not happening. Yeah, you want to send some furniture, some freight on the loop and get it across the country super cheap and drive down market price? Cool. People? Mm-hmm. Okay. 2060, 2080, he'll be dead by the time people are riding around in a Hyperloop. We can't even get high-speed trains. I go around the whole world. Everybody else is getting on trains, going 100 miles. We can't even get high-speed trains. But he going to come bring me Hyperloop underneath the city in a rural area in the Northeast. Stop it.
But wouldn't you like to live in New York and just go to D.C. and tell the U.S. government what you think, you know, in 30 minutes, and then turn around and go back?
Sure, I would. Who wouldn't want to do that? I'd also like to fly. I'd also like to cough money. I'd also like to sleep for 16 hours a day and have it not affect my whole lifestyle. I'd like unlimited chicken Alfredo. There are a lot of things that I would like, but they're just not going to happen. And this is one of those things.
Okay. Well, okay. So not that this means that it's going to happen any faster, but the Department of Transportation did confirm that they have had conversations with Elon Musk. I'm not saying that means it's going to happen, but he wasn't completely making this up. Someone in the White House said that this might at some point be something that they could do. And, you know, boring the holes is the easy part, right? Like, what you're talking about is much faster, like how to get...
Wait, putting the holes in the ground is easy in the Northeast?
Well, it's easier. Just digging. It's easier than what you were talking about, not turning into jelly as you're riding in a tube.
Drilling holes, okay, what he's saying in general is not easy. We have infrastructure. We have sewers. We have drains. We have aquifers. We have sinkholes popping up in cities. Again, it's Elon Musk, so people just be taking it so credible. One day he'll do it, and I'll be like, oh, I was wrong, or I'll just die saying, see, I told you. We was never doing nothing in no tubes. Again, we don't even have high-speed trains in America.
I was just saying it's easier. So, okay, so of all the things that Elon Musk has said, we're going to Mars pretty soon. We're going to be riding around the tubes.
Not doing that.
Self-driving Tesla.
That's going to happen.
Okay, so we're living in a simulation?
Self-driving cars.
Are we living in a simulation?
No.
Okay, so will robots use us as their pets?
There might be a war about that. See, by the time they go to using us as pets, we'll be dead anyway.
Okay.
The whole thing about going to Mars, I just wish he spent his energy fixing the planet we have that we're screwing up so bad. So, yeah, robots are going to rule the Earth because we won't be able to survive. It'll be robots and cockroaches, be the only things left on this planet the way we destroy it. We're not going to Mars. Repeat, we're not going to Mars. He can land a spaceship. That's really cool. He did that. He can harness the power of the sun and help us extend our lifetime for maybe 1,000 years if we ever got on board and just did it. But he is not going to Mars, and he is not digging these holes in the ground and sending people in it. Again, maybe cargo, not people.
Well, I'm with Elon Musk. I say dream big. And I'm also with Patterson in the chat room, who says, aim for the stars, even if you hit Cleveland.
Okay, Mars. Do people not understand what Mars is? You know what? It's okay.
I said aim for the stars, not Mars.
Yeah, aim for stars. Mars sounds the same to me, and that's what you mean in your heart. I know what you mean. Don't try to sugarcoat it with the stars. Stars means Mars. Stars, Mars. I get it. What other stories we got besides not believing in Elon?
Okay, all right. YouTube TV has launched in 10 new cities. It required no digging of holes, no riding around in tubes. Houston, Atlanta, Phoenix, Detroit, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, Daytona Beach, Melbourne. That's one thing. Charlotte and Dallas-Fort Worth and Washington, D.C. They also added new networks since they first launched in April, including AMC, BBC, World News, BBC America, blah, 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 Telemundo, Universo. For $35 a month, you can get live streaming channels from nearly 50 networks, unlimited DVR, 6 accounts per household, lots of non-skippable advertising. I know you love your live sports, and that's what keeps you from being a cord cutter. Have you had a chance to try YouTube TV?
That's the only thing. I have people that love YouTube TV. I have no reason to want it, to desire it, or use it. Again, if I can't watch football on it, all these streaming services are overpriced for me.
But you
Sling,
can.
Sling, you can. The NFL is different, and I want to watch stuff mobily, and the NFL blocks all these avenues of for mobile watching unless you're on Sling or satellite. Like, they got certain deals where there's a couple places where you could get it, but you're still nitpicking for what you want. And I feel like the price is too high and you don't get YouTube Red with it. But again, I do know a couple people that have it and they absolutely love the service. It seems to be working out great for them. So that's good.
I tried it for a month. It was free for a month. I forgot to cancel it. So I really tried it for 2 months. And bum, 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 bum. Yeah, and they do send you a Chromecast if you forget to cancel and go for 2 months, which I did not need and ended up giving away. But yeah, it was too much. And I just can't stand not being able to skip the advertising. And I know that's weird for me to say because I'm doing a show that's supported by advertising, but I am also an honest person. So, and I really don't know how to pronounce Kush. I don't know if it's Kush or Kush.
And Kush is funny. So we're going to get you a t-shirt that says Kush. And that's the thing. Yes, you're doing a show that has advertising. Advertising needs to change. And especially with streaming, don't force me. I'd rather you run a banner or a ticker that says Coca-Cola that did a pop-up in my corner than stop me every whatever when the show gets good and force me to watch 2 minutes of ads. I'd rather a scroll by or something like that. I know they're not going to do that yet. At some point, it's going to happen because product placement doesn't really get you what you need because everything's a product and everything's placed with our shows nowadays. So it's, you know, the sets are more lavish. So it's hard to pick out products like that if you try to put them in Sublime. But they got to do something with that. I mean, I pay for Hulu, so I don't have to watch the ads now. And I tell you what, it just saves me time. Me and Leah watched Smallville and the OC. We're blowing through episodes in 38 minutes instead of 45 minutes. It makes a difference.
I know. And I was listening to an interview that Kara Swisher was doing, and I can't remember who it was with, but it's a retail expert guy. And he said that advertising is really just for the people that don't know that they can skip. It's for like the people that are like technically ignorant in the way that they don't know how to skip ads, which I think in that sense, like, it has to change. And, you know, that's what podcasts are for. Like, in my ad that's coming up, I'm going to tell you about zombies. So you're not going to want to skip it. So there's got to be some kind of change in terms of just like what you see on TV and the fact that YouTube just doesn't let you skip them. I think that is a kind of a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, it really is. And for me, commercials, the biggest thing that got me stopped watching commercials was when I had a child and she could speak and she looked at me and said, I want that every day, 3 times a day. And I realized like, oh, wow, we're watching these kid shows and all they're doing is getting her to want me to buy stuff. So I was like, oh, we switched immediately to Netflix. She never asked me for anything ever again. You ask her what she wants for Christmas. She's like, I don't know. All these kids are like, I need the Elmo. I need a Hatchable. I need a whatever. She's like, what's cool? Like, just buy me something, Dad, because I don't know. Like, she is so oblivious to, like, what is the thing because she doesn't see commercials ever. So it works on kids really well. It doesn't work on me so much.
What about YouTube? Does she watch YouTube? Because that's the – once they're on YouTube by themselves – then the ads, you can keep the TV from them, but
no, she's on YouTube. I actually watched the episode that you had with Megan. I mean, not Megan, you're Megan, Georgia, and I was like, wow, about addiction and kids. Uh-huh. My daughter's had a mobile device since she was 3 years old. I couldn't even imagine her being addicted to it. If I tell her to give me her phone, she can't look at it for a week. She says, okay, here, gives it to me, walks away, no issue. Because I always set rules and boundaries. So for a kid, even when she sees those commercials, she's like looking at the sky until she hates commercials too now. She judges commercials. She looks at me. She's like, Dad, why would anybody buy that? Like, she's processing commercials totally different now. But yeah, YouTube commercials, they're not as enticing as TV commercials. I'll tell you that. The flippable, flappable $2.99 order now is not on YouTube right now. It's just generic, fluffy stuff.
Is your daughter on Snapchat?
She doesn't like Snapchat so much, but she is on Snapchat. She's on Instagram. She's on Musical.ly. She's on, she has a Tumblr. She has her website. She has a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So again, with the addiction thing, the rule was, first of all, when you get in a car, no devices. You either have to listen to music or you have to talk to each other. And I put books in the back. So we have comic books, graphic novels, all that stuff. Her friends get in the car. They got phones. My dad says no phones. They put the phones down. They sit back there. They read. They tell each other jokes, whatever. So there's processes with the phone at night. At bedtime, phone goes off. You can play a music playlist. That's it. There's no watching the screen at night. There's no nothing. So I've set boundaries in there so that when I say, you know, you're getting on my nerves, I'm taking your phone, she's like, okay, cool, no phone. And then she'll go find something else to do. But when you just give a kid a device willy-nilly and don't check in on them, don't give them any checks and balances, and don't let them know that you paid a bill and it's my phone, I'll take it when I want to, then, yeah, they get crazy and they cry and they freak out, and then they take that they think that the phone is their life. But, you know, rules, boundaries. And early on, like I said, she's asked to do three. So she knows the rules. So her friends are looking at her like, what do you mean I can't use my phone in a car? I always use my phone in a car. That's the most time you probably use it, when you don't want to talk to somebody, your parent. Leah's like, no phones. No tablets.
Yeah, so. It comes from her. That's fantastic. I think you need to move here, and so she can become my daughter's friend. Because, I mean, all kids are different. There's all kinds of situations, and I don't want to judge any parents, especially myself. But I think, you know, we have all those rules. We have the rule of, you know, when you come over, you got to put the phone in the charging station and not just hang out on the couch looking at phones together. And then that just causes them to go over to someone else's house where they don't have those rules. So it is not easy, Owen.
And they're your kids. There is nobody else's house. And sometimes, okay, so my daughter, she tries it. We're always doing stuff. Again, this is why, like, I'm like the worst podcast. Sometimes I'm doing stuff. She comes to me. She says, Dad, what are we doing today? And if she asked me two times in the first half hour, I'll sit there all day. We won't do nothing. We can look at each other and watch the paint dry. So she knows to check herself. And again, not judging anybody, but I've kept some kind of control since early on. And now she's grown up with it. Now, at some point, yeah, she's going to be 14 and tell me I'm going to go do what I want to do. And I'm just going to say, well, you don't pay a bill. So unless you get a job at 14, like, this is what it has to do. And get board games. We got to do something as a family. I don't know what's going on in the house, but you got to do something. Don't let them leave. Trap them. Lock the door. Find something else to do. Or get them a Sphero so they could use the ball in conjunction with their device, so they're not just in their device or something. I don't know. Got to do something. Trap the kids.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to come hang out.
Please do. Please do. Okay. Next time you're out here. Okay. Well, after the break, Selena Larson from CNN Tech is here to tell us all about a new class for aspiring credit card hackers. But first, let's take a minute to thank Ring, the sponsor of this episode. Ring's mission is to make neighborhoods safer from zombies. That's right. I said zombies. Today, over 1 million people use the amazing Ring video doorbell to help protect their homes from zombies. Ring knows home security from zombies begins at the front door. It doesn't end there. That's why they're extending the same level of security to the rest of your home with the Ring Floodlight Cam. Just like the Ring's video doorbell, Floodlight Cam is a motion-activated camera and floodlight that connects to your phone with HD video and two-way audio. It lets you know the moment anyone, including a zombie, steps on your property. You can see and speak to visitors, even set off an alarm right from your phone. I know. With Ring's Floodlight Cam, when things like zombies go bump in the night, you'll immediately know what it is. And of course, it protects you from other things besides zombies, feral cats, I don't know, the neighbors, whoever. Whether you're home or away, the Ring Floodlight Cam lets you keep an eye on your home. And just the idea of talking through your light, I mean, nothing is cooler than that. Ring Floodlight Cams offer the ultimate in home security with high visibility floodlights and a powerful HD camera that puts security in your hands. That's why it was named the Wall Street Journal's Best of CES 2017. Monitor every corner of your property with a Ring of Security kit. All kits include a Ring video doorbell and your choice of either 1, 2, or 3 floodlight cams, depending on how much light you want out there. Connect your Ring video doorbell with your favorite smart locks and your hubs for added convenience, monitoring, and security. With Ring, you're always home. Save up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit when you go to ring.com/TNT. That's ring.com/TNT. And we thank Ring for their support.
Man, you sold me with the black one. That's stealth.
Yeah.
I want one of those. I can stick those up. You won't even see it till bam, the lights come on. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
And then it's like you. That.
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe I want your voice. So if it's like my daughter coming home late, you can be like, hello, I see you. Your mom had no boundaries when you were little.
Right. I'm just going to start texting random stuff like, what are you doing? Stop doing the phone. Get off the phone. It's scary. Like, right. Just scare them. There's somebody creeping me out on the phone. Well, don't play with the phone. I don't know what to tell you.
I love it. So if you've ever dreamed of being a professional in the world of carding, that is the ad that security firm Digital Shadows came upon advertising a class on how to find credit card data online and how to hack people's PayPal accounts. Selena Larson from CNN looked into this story and is here to tell us all about it. Welcome back to the show, Selena.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So tell us how Digital Shadows found this advertised clash.
Yeah, so they were investigating a lot of this stuff on the darknet, and they, you know, always kind of look through a lot of this carding and financial data to see, you know, what's popular, what are the trends that criminals are using right now, what kind of tools and services. And so they came upon this ad for a 6-week carding course. It's much more advanced than what's already out there. For instance, you can download a PDF and learn some tips and tricks through that. But this costs under $1,000, but it's a full course, kind of like you might take in a community college class or something. But instead of a legitimate class, it teaches you credit card fraud, how to hack people, how to buy and sell credit cards, and how to launder the money and, you know, drain accounts if you get your hands on it.
So did they actually sign up for the class? I mean, I think it costs over $900. So did they sign? I mean, because that's the thing. It's like, do you get that for your $900?
So the gentleman that I talked to didn't actually take the class because it is taught in Russian. So they had the researchers look into all the data that was available, the course curriculum, the chats that were going on, because you can actually chat with the professors who are teaching this course, the instructors, they themselves are carders. And so by looking through all of that and analyzing all of that data, they couldn't take the course themselves because they didn't speak Russian, but they did have their researchers look into it and all the course materials that were provided. And the gentleman that I spoke with said that this is the most sophisticated carding class that he's ever seen available for sale on the dark web.
Wow. Oh, and I bet you have some thoughts on this carding class. What do you think, Owen?
So again, this is one of those things where it's a sticky situation. Where I don't want to say, yeah, these classes exist. And I've seen one of the classes. It wasn't in Russian. And I'll just say, I have a cousin who just got out of federal prison. He was in there for 3 years. And I said to him, like, well, what made you do the credit card stuff? He's like, well, you sell drugs, you go to jail for 30 years. He's like, you know, credit card stuff. He's like, they caught me with $2 million. I'm only here for 3 years. And he has email and Skype in jail. Like, jail is like, you're in jail? He's like, yeah, I'm just emailing you from jail. So that kind of crime is very lucrative and appealing to people that want to just make some fast cash. And especially if you're not greedy, you can get away with those techniques and skills for a long time without getting caught.
So what you say is it is worth $900 then?
$900 sounds like a bargain to me. Street value of that knowledge is like $3,000 or $4,000 for someone to teach you. And it's not even that in depth. It's just basically like, this is how you make a credit card. This is how you still have to go out and get your own numbers and find out all that information. They just show you how to spoof cards and things like that when you pay for it. Directly from person to person. Or this is what I've been told. I only have my own credit cards. I don't have anybody else's.
I would obviously advise against that. I spoke to an assistant U.S. attorney who was one of the main prosecutors on the Roman Selesnev case, who was one of the most notorious carders. He was from Russia. He had an entire carding operation set up. He hacked the credit cards and sold them. And he also sold classes similar to this, although way less sophisticated, more like how to PDFs similar to what you would find out there. But he was recently prosecuted and sentenced to 27 years in prison for his role in the operation. And Norman Barbosa, who was the attorney that I spoke with, he said that, you know, the Department of Justice has prosecuted a lot of these types of cases. And as we've seen, you know, with Alphabay and Hansa today, the darknet markets that were taken down, you know, the like federal prosecutors and like police, they will find you on these different sites. And, you know, there was a lot of the people who were speaking today on behalf of the DOJ, including Attorney General Jeff Sessions, was like, you know, you can use these services, but we're going to find you. And that's similar to what Barbosa said, is even though the tech keeps evolving and their strategies keep evolving, so are, you know, the federal agencies and the ways that they're looking and finding a lot of these criminals online. So it isn't, you know, 27 years in prison. It was a pretty hefty punishment levied against one of the most notorious carders on those sites.
So, Owen, you said don't be greedy. I think, Selena, you had some tips in your article about on the other side about what you can do if what Owen's saying is that, you know, people are just trying to like charge $5 or charge $10 or something, do it in small. What are some of the tips that you talk about in your article about how to avoid being carded? Do they call it being carded or just being hacked?
I mean, there's this like identity theft or fraud, credit card fraud another way. They suggest, you know, having bank account alerts on your card for anything less than $5. A lot of times these carders will use automated services to check for, to see if the card is authentic. And so they'll do these really small transactions, usually under $5 to see if it's like a legitimate card, as well as over $100 to detect fraud. Another thing that they say too is a lot of times, you know, hackers will try and access people's bank accounts or banking information by using old emails and passwords that have been leaked in previous dumps, whether that's, you know, LinkedIn, Adobe, whatever. And so, you know, this is, we keep saying this over and over, but don't reuse passwords. Don't use the same login information that you use for any other website, as that could be compromised.
Two guys that got caught locally here. They were at an outlet, and basically they had someone who was working one of the stores, and they were copying the cars. They had a laptop and a card machine in the car. Someone would go and buy something. They were out on the internet remaking the cards up and then going in and shopping. And someone had an alert on their phone that they went and bought all this stuff, and then the police caught them in the parking lot because, again, being greedy, they had a car full of stuff. I think they had gotten maybe 8,000 or 9,000 in that day by the time they got caught just taking people's credit cards. But everybody got caught, and it was because of someone's alert on their phone, and they knew that they didn't do that shopping. So then they looked, and it was like pinging at other stores like crazy. So that is a big help, especially if you're on top of it. My credit card, I have Capital One, and I do stuff online. Like I rented a car, and they're like, "Did you rent this car?" Like everything I do, they ask me if I did it, and I gotta like hit okay inside the email for them to release the money. Everything I buy, they're just super worried about somebody scamming something. Unless I bought it the second time, then they leave it alone. But the first time, they're like, "Oh, did you buy socks at Walmart today? Are you sure?" So it's a little annoying, but I understand the point. They're trying to protect me.
Right. The right amount of notifications would be good, because with any notification, once you get too many of you, begin to ignore them. So, hopefully they'll use some sort of AI to be able to tell what.
And apparently this woman didn't do that. Like she kept getting them, and some people just think it like it's a mistake or something. She actually called, was like, "Hey, what's going on? I keep getting these pings." Mm-hmm. And they caught the guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, Selena, you also have a piece today about a smart fish tank, and an excellent fishing pun as well. Can you tell us just a little bit? Don't give any spoilers, but about how this smart fish tank left someone vulnerable to hacking?
Yeah, so this was a pretty fun story. Apologies for the pun in the lead. Not really. I was pretty proud of that.
Sorry, not sorry. I get it.
A connected fish tank led to a casino potentially being pwned by an outside hacker, and he was, you know, sending data offsite to a different machine. Basically, the point of the story is, you know, it kind of highlights all of these new attack vectors as more things come online in the Internet of Things, whether it's a fish tank, whether it's a connected coffee maker, whether it's smart drawing boards that you have on your corporate networks. All of these things, you know, are increasingly vulnerable, and they are points of weakness along the network. And so Darktrace, which is a cybersecurity firm, released a report highlighting, you know, kind of the 9 weirdest ones, I suppose. And my personal favorite was the fish tank. Not just because you can make a good pun, but because it's something that a lot of times people don't think about. You know, you think of the traditional phone or servers being used to mine Bitcoin, or any internal threats, you know, people bringing in outside computers or phones to sort of download data from the corporate network. But this was an interesting case of an IoT device being compromised from the outside.
Well, Selena Larson is a tech news and security and policy writer at CNN Tech, and she is Selena Larson on Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us, Selena.
Yeah, thanks for having me, as always.
We'll see you soon. So we got some feedback. Paul wrote in about a story he saw about students using Wolfram Alpha to cheat. So I guess this is why we can't have nice things. What do you think about this story, Owen?
Leah and I watched it in the car today, and she thought it was awesome. I think it's awesome. I kind of don't have a problem with it because I think since we're not doing math in the best way, I think we're like ranked, 16th, 18th, 27th in the world. If we're not doing math like the Asians do math, I don't want to do math anymore. I just want to punch it in and have somebody tell me. When's the last time you used trigonometry?
I don't know. Like 1999?
When I was a kid, I remember them saying, you got to learn it because you won't have a calculator on you. And my dad was like one of the first guys with like the Casio calculator watch. And I was like, yeah, you will. My dad wears a calculator every day. Like I could always have a calculator. And now everyone's got one on their phone. It's just so different. And I feel like we could be doing education better served in other things. Same thing I said about knocking down the dark web. Yeah, cool. But I feel like we should be spending our money on other things. I feel like math, unless it's higher math for engineers or something like that, you don't need to be killing these kids with this math. They're not. When are they going to do it?
Well, I think a lot of this is higher engineering. Because I mean, the difference between Wolfram Alpha and a calculator, like a graphing calculator, it tells you the steps on how you got it, how you got the answer.
Yeah.
Which I think, I feel like that is what needs to be taught more. Like, not the answer, but how you got the answer, the work that you did in order to get the answer, no matter what you're learning in school. And so I think that, yeah, I'm torn on this because I do feel like, wow, because I mean, this, you know, these students got caught because they all had the same work and it was a problem that was like much harder than the teachers could think that they could get. I mean, my husband is a high school teacher and he will tell you that, yes, obviously, I'm sure that some kids have gotten away. He's an English teacher, not a math teacher, but you know, and yes, he can go on all of these services and if he thinks someone's cheating and search and find that paper that they found online, or, you know, they will have someone write the paper for them. He knows. He's a very good teacher. And so he doesn't actually need technology to know when someone's cheating because he knows how much his students know or don't know.
And I mean, I guess my kid, not to toot her home, she's somewhat of a decent kid. She was like, well, if I did something wrong, and what if you don't really know that we're home doing homework? At least I can go look at that and see where I did it wrong at, and it'll show me so I could use it. She's like, that would be really useful to me for trying to figure stuff out. And I'm like, yeah, it would be. But what happens is most people just cheat and don't do the work, and we're lazy, and it's America, and that's how we get down. I wish I had it. I don't really – I understand the problems with it, but the people that are going to cheat, right? Whether they're using that or they have a friend doing their homework or anything else of that nature. So it's not really a huge deal per se.
Well, I hope that cheaters going to cheat, as you say. I hope that that is true and we don't have all these tools that just make it easier and easier for everyone to cheat in order to keep up because of all the pressure.
Robot future. That's how we get there. We stop doing work. We just let the computers and the robots do everything for us. That's what we're supposed to do. We're trying to get to that Elon Musk future. So no more math for anybody.
Except for the people designing the robots. Well, how are they going to learn math?
At some point, aren't we working on AI? Aren't they like intelligent? Can't they do math on their own? Like, what new math is there? Come on now.
We have a shortage of machine learning engineering experts. We just do have a shortage. And so that's, you know, because too many people used Wolfram Alpha to get the answers to their trigonometry test.
Too many people in America. Outside of this country, there are a lot of math whizzes being imported for work. So I think we'll be fine. So let's just be America and coast on the answer sheet.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I feel a little sad.
We should all do our own work.
Well, I
mean, we should work hard. We should learn.
I feel like, I briefly brought up the pressure aspect of it. And I do think a lot of kids are too pressured in school. Of course, there is the, like, everybody gets a trophy. There's that too. But there's a lot of pressure. And I think that is in other countries too. That's not just an American. It's worse
in
a lot of other countries.
Yes.
And so I do think there is that could lead kids to cheat as well.
Yeah. Okay, so the bottom line of that is that kind of cheating doesn't even do anything for you anywhere or serve you any kind of justice. Because at the end of the day, you have to do a test, right? You have to pass exams. You have finals. And if you're using Alvum Wagga Wagga and you haven't learned anything, you're going to fail the finals. You're going to fail the test. You're going to fail the class. So I don't even think that's a problem as a tool. I think that's a Band-Aid. It's not a death warrant for math. You still have to pass finals tests and exams.
Well, I encourage everyone, if they're feeling great today, to go to Wolfram Alpha and type in how many days since your birthday, like the year you were born. And then you can see how many days you've lived, how many weeks you've lived. It's fascinating. And
what?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a good way to feel about how long you've been on this earth thinking about these topics that we're talking about. All right, let's talk about TNT's fan of the day is Micah Sargent, who happened to be sitting in your seat yesterday, Owen. He sent me this video from his Snapchat spectacles that he wore for a few minutes during the show while he was talking to me.
Thing and records video and sound, but there's just not too much of a point for them. And because it's so tied into one service, I can't, like, in good cause.
So that was Micah's video of him talking to me. And he said I could use this to the other. So you never get to see the other side of someone's podcasting setup, which I don't know if yours looks anything like that, Owen. send a video of your setup, record it, or take a picture of yourself. You can post it on Instagram, Google+, Twitter, or Facebook. Use the hashtag HowIWatchTNT, and we will find it. And finally, Hollywood focus group testing might soon become a thing of the past. Lauren Good from The Verge recently visited a department at Dolby Labs that's designing EEG caps, heart rate monitors, thermal imaging cameras, and even galvanic skin response sensors in order to gauge how much viewers like a given film. What do you think about this technology, whether it will give us the ability to tell whether we like a movie or not?
So it'll give you that, again, liking versus a feeling. You know, I mean, if you're watching a horror movie, yeah, you can check the heart rate and when someone's sweating and they get antsy, it's a thriller. But, like, I don't know. It takes something away from I'm going to plug you into this machine. How much am I really – I'm watching Dunkirk. It's two and a half hours long. I've got to wear all that. And you're going to try and get real information out of me? Like, come on, who's going to be doing that? I mean, I guess. Why do I love technology so much, but sometimes I hate it. Like, can we just ask the person a question? Can we just trust the person? Can we just go off their feelings? We got to put a rod up their nose and see if they wiggled two times and laughed at this part. It's just too much sometimes for me.
I wish there'd also been, like, the little, things opening right? Eyes, Clockwork Orange eyeballs.
It was just shy of that, the way she was all hooked up in a bonnet of electrodes and her fingers and her chest and her back. And, yeah, they got her sit. And what focus group is going to have somebody sit on a nice, luxurious couch by themselves with one screen? They're all shoved in a room like cattle. There you go. That's what they're looking like. They're all shoved in a room like cattle with one screen. All jacked up to machines and sweating because of the heat. It's just too much.
I really need those Clockwork Orange tweezers at night when I'm reading because I'm so tired. And if I could just keep them, like,
that's why you just awesome. Go to sleep. Let's go to sleep. What do you read on at night? Are you reading books or are you using a digital device?
Paper books. Yep. Mm-hmm. The digital device is too addicting. Like, I've already, it runs in my family, apparently, the addiction to devices.
Apparently, but that's a good step, Mom. Mm-hmm. I was about to jump on you, but look at you, reading good old-fashioned paper books. Mm-hmm.
And we don't let phones in the car either. We do that, too. We're the crazy parents also that don't let.
Do you give them options? Because, again, here's the thing. So every once in a while, she'll be watching too many of the shows or whatever, and I just go stick a graphic novel on her face, and I'm like, read this. When you're done reading this, you can watch your shows. Now, it might take her the day. It might take her 2 days. It might take her however long. But depending on how bad she wants to get back to watching her show, she reads that book. And then I let her go. Again, just checking her every once in a while. Here, read something. Do something. Mm-hmm. Finish this, and you can get your reward of your addiction of the phone device thing.
Yeah. We try that, too. Yeah. Like, when you think about how many hours they spend in front of a screen versus reading. Yeah, we were just like, just read for 2 hours and then you can, spend 2 hours on YouTube. Like, that's just. Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Owen, I'm sad to say that this show is over and I would like to talk to you for several more hours. And now I know the.
No. Just write into the show. Tweet at us if you know what this is, mm-hmm. because someone on the show didn't know what this was. So if you happen to know what this is, just tweet at Megan what this is. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. It gets you a lot of tweets. Tweet at Megan and give the answer to what this logo is.
Yes.
At further Megan educate her so she can understand the ways of the world.
Well, the evil ways of the world, perhaps. I mean, I know only good things.
I know. You're the positive light of my life, and that's why you have me on the show. Balance, yin and yang.
Yes.
I understand. I get it.
Right. And I think nothing made me happier when you called Georgia Megan earlier in the show to be compared to Georgia Dow.
Total brain slip there. I was just so like, she's going to kill me for that. She's like,
no.
She thought it was make you know better. I do know better. I apologize to Georgia.
Okay, where's the best place for people to find you? Is it on Twitter?
At O-Doctor on Twitter, IQMZ.com. I got a new Doctel podcast lined up. I've been slacking. It's summertime. I hang out with my kid. I'm sorry. Again, I get away from screens and stuff, and people get sad at me because they want me to make more stuff. But I make stuff for work all the time, and then I got to see my kids. I don't do stuff. But I promise, Internet, I'm coming back to make more stuff for you. And if you go to IQMZ.com or O-Doctor on Twitter, you'll find out what I'm doing in these streets.
Okay. And then if you really jones in, 2 weeks ago, you can watch Twit. If you've already seen it, watch it again. And I'm sure you'll be on one of those shows.
I did a great rant about bros in San Francisco not sticking up for the ladies on that Twit. So go watch that Twit if you didn't watch it. It's a good Twit.
Well, thank you, Owen. We will see you again soon. Bye.
Bye.
TNT records live every Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. You can find it at twit.tv/live, and you can be part of the show by emailing us at tnt@twit.tv. You can also leave us a short voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW, or find us on Twitter at TechNewsTodayTV. Subscribe to the show at twit.tv/TNT. And if you want to tweet at me about what that logo was on Owen's cup, I'm at Megan Maroney. Thanks to our technical director, Brian. Thank you to Burke for helping out in the studio. Thank you to Kevin for editing the show. Thank you to Jose for checking the ads. And thanks to you for talking tech with us today. Don't forget to keep an eye out for zombies. We'll see you tomorrow.